Hey, Elissa Walker Campbell, good evening and welcome into the next generation of sports radio. That is SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And indeed, it is Friday night. There is a number of compelling matchups this evening in the NBA. But of course, all eyes will be watching on Saturday night as the Warriors, the Thunder, KD is going to be back at Chesapeake Energy Arena, 7:30 tip on ABC. Looking so forward to that game. But right now, we're going to power up. We're going to head out to the Eastern Conference. We got to zero in on the New York Knicks, who have had a disastrous season so far, especially after Wednesday night with Charles Oakley's police altercation. He was arrested, escorted from Madison Square Garden. I mean, the dysfunction continues. So the gentleman that I'm going to invite in on our program and provide some answers, hopefully, is longtime NBA columnist. He's with Sirius XM NBA Radio, does an outstanding job, and that is Mitch Lawrence. Good evening, Mitch. It's nice to have you with us. I mean, what did we just witness on Wednesday night? Was that Jerry Springer? I mean, do we need to call Dr. Phil?
I mean, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff in my days of covering Madison Square Garden. I mean, I've seen fights. Uh-huh. I've seen Jeff Van Gundy going at it with Miami, with Alonzo Mourning. I've seen Latrell Sprewell come back and unleash an unbelievable verbal assault against the Garden boss and Nick owner Jim Dolan. But the Oakley altercation is something I never thought I'd see. But, you know, here's the thing, Alyssa, you have to remember. Charles Oakley has been in a public battle, a public war of the words, with the Garden owner, Garden boss James Dolan, for the last few years. And he's basically persona non grata with the Knicks. You know, the Knicks always bring back, like a lot of teams, you'll have the older players, former players come back to help them celebrate certain milestones for the team. This is the Knicks' 70th birthday this year. And Charles Oakley, because he's got a very bad relationship with James Dolan, he hasn't been invited back for anything. And so, once you saw, you know, Oakley on the premises, I'm not saying people thought something was going to happen, but you knew what? You could foresee something happening because of the proximity of where Oakley was to James Dolan, and it just escalated into this ugly, ugly confrontation where, you know, Oakley gets, you know, he has to get basically tackled and brought out of the arena, and he's booked in a local police precinct, and that's the last thing the Knicks need in this season, where you got Carmelo and Bill going at each other and all kinds of stuff, and the team's losing again, which never helps.
Okay, so Charles Oakley, it is very well documented, his displeasure with James Dolan. So I have to wonder this. I mean, how in the world did he get those seats? I mean, it seems like it was premeditated that he wanted to be there. He wanted to send a message, whether it was verbal, nonverbal. It was not a coincidence that he was sitting there so close.
I think he admitted to the police, or at some point during his booking, he told people that actually somebody provided the ticket for him. I mean, you know, they've really had a bad look, it's funny. You have former teammates that he played with when the Knicks went to a couple finals, and guys like, you know, Larry Johnson and John Starks and Allen Houston, who worked for James Dolan, who worked for the Knicks, who think the world of James Dolan, and they obviously, you know, are working for him. And then you've got the outsiders. You've got Oakley, you've got Latrell Sprewell, and guys like that, and those guys have been at war with James Dolan. And one thing, and I've learned this as a columnist for the Daily News, I was at the New York Daily News for 21 years, if you don't write something that James Dolan likes, and you're constantly on him because of their mismanagement and the dysfunction of the Knicks, or you're a former player, and you're critical, and you make public comments, James Dolan, his way of retaliating is, for me, he barred me basically from covering the team for a year. And then when it came to the other guys, I'm talking about, you know, Sprewell and Charles Oakley, they're basically persona non grata. I couldn't get a press pass, but these guys actually work for James Dolan at one point and play for the Knicks, and they're not allowed back in the Garden in a lot of ways. And so, you know, it's unfortunate because the Knicks are doing a lot of things this year. They're always, you know, they have this motto, once a Knick, always a Knicks, which we kind of make light of when it comes to guys like Baron Davis, who hardly played there. But, you know, there are a lot of guys who are always brought back to the fold. And with Phil Jackson now running the team, there's even more of that. But Charles Oakley, because of what he said and because of how James Dolan views him now, he is not involved in these things. And that really infuriates Oakley, as we saw.
It certainly did not look good, him shoving law enforcement officials. No. He conducted himself in a very belligerent fashion. He didn't get a pass on my...
Yeah. No, he doesn't. You know what? Look, it looked bad. It was bad for Oakley. It was just a stunning thing because everybody knows who he is. The proximity to Dolan didn't look good. There were allegations There were witnesses who claimed that he was yelling things at Dolan, inflammatory things. He did not comport himself like he should have. I mean, people have made light of it, I know, on Twitter and stuff about how Oakley is still mean and this and that. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, this is a whole different thing, and you're absolutely right. He shouldn't have done what he did. You could say, did it warrant him getting, you know, manhandled or basically, you know, escorted out in a physical confrontation? Apparently it did. And, you know, you're basically in Madison Square Garden. That's owned by James Dolan, and he can have his security people, you know, do that. So, no, it wasn't a good look for Charles. Not at all.
Now, Mitch, I know you were in Brooklyn. You were talking to Scotty Brooks up there, but you weren't at the game. So is there any way, you know, as a journalist's point of view, I mean, how can you find out what truly did happen in that, what, 4.5 minutes that Charles Oakley was there? Because he believed that, you know, he was on his best boy behavior.
Yeah, he claims that he didn't say anything. And I've read all the accounts, and I've talked to some people who were there. And it's it's definitely Charles is putting his word up against these other people. So anytime the Knicks play, I guess they should rather be there than in Brooklyn, right?
Right. Let's talk some more about the Knicks. Give us the sense of Spike Lee. He's a bit restless, too. He is looking to pack Phil Jackson's bags. How big of an influence can Spike Lee have?
None, but it's fun. I mean, Spike is like the team mascot. He's taken sides in the Carmelo-Phil war. You know, Phil, it's interesting. Phil hasn't talked to the New York media since September, and he's not going to. But he sends out tweets, which a lot of people don't like. They think that you know, NBA team president shouldn't be tweeting out, especially when you're going after your best player. And whether it's a motivational thing, but a lot of people think that this is Phil's way of trying to exert pressure on Carmelo to make him get so fed up and so frustrated with what's going on that he'll finally, you know, waive his no-trade clause. That's not going to happen. My sources and other people have talked to people who also insist that Carmelo's going to dig his heels in, that Carmelo's not going to do this, that Phil can't pressure him into leaving. You know, Carmelo's a guy very proud. Carmelo is a guy who has handled himself beautifully in this whole thing.
He really has.
He's not at all taken a low road. I mean, he's kind of tried to humor Phil. The only thing I disagree when Carmelo said it's tested my will, all this Phil stuff, is that he has the no-trade clause. So, you know, weeks ago he could have come out and said, hey, you know what, I've given it some thought, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to waive my no-trade. No matter what Phil brings to me, I'm not waiving my no-trade. I'm committed to stay through the Knicks. Could I rethink it in the summer? Yeah, but right now I want to get this team to the playoffs. We haven't been there in 3 years. So I say something like that instead of coming out and saying it tests my will. We all know that Carmelo holds all the cards here. But listen, he holds the power. He has this no-trade clause. And so Phil can come with him with the greatest trade to join up with LeBron in Cleveland or Chris Paul, his buddy, out with the Clippers. Carmelo doesn't have to go. He doesn't have to approve it. He I think, and Dirk Nowitzki are two of the only players in the league to have these no-trade clauses. And they're gold. You know, they're not giving out willy-nilly. So, I mean, Carmelo, for the most part, has handled himself great. Phil hasn't, but Phil's had a lot of problems as a team president. He was great as a coach. You know, 11 championships, and he was great in Chicago and Los Angeles. But there's a big difference between coaching a bunch of champions and building a championship team, and Phil hasn't done a good job.
Well, a lot of dysfunction. It continues with the New York Knicks. So let me put you on the spot just a bit, Mitch. I mean, whose side are you on, Phil Jackson or Carmelo Anthony? Who needs to go?
Well, you know what? The time has come for really Phil needs to go, and I'll tell you why. Even if he were to trade Carmelo, I don't trust Phil that he could build a team. The saying around New York goes, at least Carmelo does his job a little bit better than Phil. I mean, Carmelo is a fading star. You know, he has problems down the defensive end with lateral quickness and stuff, and he's not that great fourth quarter scorer anymore. But, you know, Phil is just not cut out for this job. I don't know how hard he works at it. There's a lot of questions about that. He's not out scouting like other team presidents. And I think it's really time that it's going to be 3 years in March next month that he was brought in, with the specific assignment of, you know, building a team that can contend, at least in the Eastern Conference. And look at where the Knicks are now. So many games under 500 and a lot of bad moves done by Phil. I mean, I give Mavericks credit for drafting Kristaps Porzingis. The player you really want was Jahlil Okafor, who was taken a pick before by Philadelphia, but he does get credit for, you know, getting Porzingis in the draft that year. The problem is that a lot of his other moves have backfired, including giving Carmelo not just the max money deal that he got, $125 million, but
right,
adding the no-trade clause. So I'm siding just in a limited way with Carmelo here, although I've always felt that Carmelo should be gone too, because if you nearly need to rebuild from the bottom up, and that means getting rid of a guy like Carmelo Anthony.
The NBA conversation continues with Mitch Lawrence from Sirius XM NBA Radio right after this quick timeout.